the more in my life God has moved the magnifying glass over the subject of freedom, the more I've realized that we were wired for freedom. That's what we were wired for. And the boundaries that were meant to be in place and are meant to be in place in our lives are only love. They are the boundaries that God intended. Obviously, with children and whatever, they have to learn to walk in that. And so anyone who's got a child will see that your child, your children, all of us are wired for freedom. That is the way we were designed. Jesus, he sought to bring that freedom. He said, you'll know the truth will set you free. I gave a number of examples last week of where Jesus specifically set people free. And in, and Paul, super church planter Paul, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. It sounds like tautology, like where you say the same thing twice. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Isn't that amazing? He set you free for what? For freedom. For what? Freedom. But what do you mean, freedom? Freedom. That's what he set you free for. He set you free for freedom. So we're looking today at addictions. Now, there are two things that need to be said from the outset. Number one, I want to make this a shame and guilt-free place this morning. So if you are struggling, suffering, wrestling, battling, whatever, whatever verb you want to use with an addiction, there is absolutely no shame here. God is not ashamed of you, and I certainly am not ashamed of you. You may be ashamed of yourself, and I understand that, but honestly, there is no guilt and there is no shame. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. There may be many of you sat here thinking, well, I'm not addicted to drink. I'm also not addicted to drugs, and I don't smoke. So actually, I may just nod off for the next 25 minutes because this really doesn't affect me. But I've put a few others down just to see if these maybe affect you. Are you addicted to work, maybe? Or how about addicted to people's approval of you? You might be addicted to drink. Oh, no, I'm not addicted to drink. What about sugar, then? What about sugar? Pornography? Fitness? Addicted to fitness? I know some of you are saying, have you seen me? Okay. Segueing into, are you addicted to body image? Addicted to sex? Addicted to power? How about this one? Addicted to being financially in control. Tight, I think they call it. Because I have to be in control. Addicted to gossip. Shopping. Buying stuff. Are you addicted to collecting stuff? Are you addicted to adrenaline and the rush it can give you? Are you addicted to social media? Not looking at anyone, I'm just... Addicted to food? Gambling? Honestly, the list is almost endless. And actually, when you go to the Bible, it doesn't actually, it barely mentions the word addicted at all. Hardly at all. But one thing it does mention is it does talk about strongholds. And the definition of a stronghold is not really complex. It's something that holds you strong. It was quite profound. It took me a while to get to that. But that's really what a stronghold is. And the Bible talks about those a lot. So really, this is the definition of addiction that we are using. The dictionary just doesn't cover it at all. And it's this: an action that you feel compelled to do and you become dependent on it. An action that you feel compelled to do and over time you become dependent on effectively the result of that action. Now, I've been praying that God would shine a light over people's addictions this morning. Not to me, because God doesn't want to expose anyone. That's not a loving father. That's not the way he works. But he does want to set you free, And if you're going to be set free, then at some point, you've got to bring something into the light. Okay, don't panic. We're not leading to some big confessional thing where everyone has to come and get a mic and say, oh, I'm addicted to this or whatever. That's not where we're going. But I have been really praying. Nick sent me a word. She's in, where's my phone? She sent me a word. She's in Northern Ireland at Causeway Coast at the women's conference there with a number of other women, just over 1,000 in total. But anyway, a few people from here as well. And she said, I felt God say that there's someone here this morning or there this morning that uses buying clothes as a way to feel beautiful, but it never fills the gap. And God wants to break the lie of ugliness in their life. That's for someone here, at least one. So you use buying clothes as a way to feel beautiful, but it never fills the gap. And God wants to break the lie of ugliness in your life. So what's the problem with addictions? Well, we can ignore Robert Palmer's iconic 80s song. That is an addiction, I guess, that is loud. In case you're wondering, it's Addicted to Love. You're going to have to face it. Sorry. Anyway, obviously, that's an acceptable addiction, but albeit an oxymoron, like addicted and love, they're not really the same thing. So anyway, just park all that. If you say, well, I'm addicted to reading the Bible, brother, like, oh, good for you, whatever. Some things, that's not an addiction. God doesn't do addictions. Some things, they're obvious. If we're looking at what's wrong with an addiction, we hardly ever come from this negative viewpoint, but I am just for a minute. What's wrong with an addiction? You might say, well, some of these things are obvious, okay? So drugs. I mean, most people would probably agree that drugs are harmful even once, okay? As it happens, one of Nick's best friends is actually a pharmacologist. She isn't a pharmacologist, but she studied pharmacology. And she took all kinds of recreational drugs while she was at uni because she understood how they worked and said, oh my goodness, there are ones that people are taking even through food that have a far worse effect on the body than some of these do. I'm not advocating drugs, obviously, for the benefit of the tape. What I'm trying to do is just slightly make sure that you're feeling almost slightly uncomfortable and you're not, if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall, that thing. I'm just trying to unsettle a little bit. So some things are really obvious. Gambling, there's a whole discussion there, I don't know. Bible doesn't really talk much about gambling, it talks about being a good steward, but there are some things that immediately you would say, well, that's probably not a very good thing. But there are others that are more complicated. So, for example, shopping. Well, there's nothing wrong with shopping in and of itself. You can go shopping, and that's a good thing, especially if you want to eat. You know, shopping's okay. Television, yeah, that's okay. Social media, you know, none of these things. Hoarding. Okay, yeah, you're saving stuff for a rainy day. I don't know. So not everything that's an addiction is necessarily in and of itself wrong. The purpose is, and the problem is, when it becomes an addiction. So we know some things are obvious, but there are some things, like I'm saying, that aren't really wrong. Jesus never says anywhere, and I've scoured the Bible from front to back, thou shalt not collect stamps or fridge magnets from every country. I've looked, I can't find it anywhere. So there are some things that are not in and of themselves, if you like, wrong or harmful. Sad, maybe, but not wrong or harmful. This is the issue, and we take this. This is from Exodus. So this is the Ten Commandments. You are right. I was here last week saying the Ten Commandments have been fulfilled. We don't have to follow them. And that is absolutely true. But they've been fulfilled, not discarded. So what people do is they read the Ten Commandments and hear them as a load of thou shalt not. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. It's an angry God with a frown on his face and a big stick. But that isn't the purpose of this. He's saying, number one, don't have anything else before me. I'm your completeness. I want to be your everything. I'm your all in all. You don't need to covet your neighbor's donkey because I've got a better one for you. Because I love you, because I'm your dad, I'm your father, and I adore you, and I just want you to enjoy me. So don't have anything else in the way, because all it's going to do is get in the way. That's the very long Amplified Bible translation of that one verse. And this is the issue with addictions. They get in the way. And God says, I don't want anything in the way because it's you I want. And most people, most of us, when I look at any addictive patterns in my life, they nearly always start because you're trying to fill some kind of hole. Nearly always. And that is a hole that God would rather be filling. So he's not angry over it. It's not that. It's not you naughty boy. It's not that thing. He's saying, don't have anything else before me. That hole you're trying to fill with that behavior, with that habit that's just gradually gone through habit and now is in addiction. I want to be that completeness for you. So please, if you recognize it's there, take it. Just take it away because it's getting in the way. I want to be there. I'm here for you. So have you got any addictions? Don't answer that, it's rhetorical. Have you got any addictions? This is the test for whether you've got an addiction. Are you ready? It's really simple. Live without it for a week. If you can live without whatever the thing is that's running around your head, if you can live without it for a week, it's probably not an addiction. Can you live without it for a week? How would you feel? Think of that thing in your head that you either know you are addicted to, or you think, well, if I am addicted to, that's probably the thing I'm most likely to be addicted to. How would you feel if you couldn't have that for a week? Would you give it another thought? In the whole week, would you almost forget? Oh, gosh, I say, the 7 days is up. I can get back to what it was before. Or would it be a pining? Would it be a longing? I would suggest that if you are pining and longing for this thing and desperate to do this action, even if through sheer willpower that you've been locked in some meter by meter cell for the week and you can't actually get to do the thing, I think it's probably fair to say that if there's an aching, a longing, a pining, a hankering after in your heart, then probably it's something that needs highlighting. By the way, I felt prompted of God just to put this in. This is also a useful test to know if you're fancying someone you shouldn't be. This is a useful test. If you think that you may be being attracted to someone that you shouldn't be because they're married, you're married, whatever, then do you think about them? Do you wonder what they're doing right now? Do you sometimes even wake up thinking of them? Just a useful test, that is. I'm sure you possibly could live without them for a week. It depends where it's at, but that is the thought life. It's that moment, those thoughts that keep entering in. I felt, as I was preparing this, I felt prompted by God to say that. I'm coming back to that a bit later on. So think about that thing, not the person, not that thing. Think about the thing that you're most likely right now to be addicted to. If you are addicted to something, that's fine. Think about it. It will be the thing that will be the hardest to give up. And most of us, if we're truly honest, we know what that thing is in our life. Most of us. So, just a reminder, there is no guilt, there is no shame, there is no stick-wielding God. He is not a stick-wielding God. He is a father who runs to embrace you. If you think of the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus told in the book of Luke, chapter 15, you'll see in there that the father, the son runs off, squanders all the money he took on wild living. Very offensive to the father to even ask for money and his share of the money while the dad's still alive. That's rude enough, etc. He goes off. Blah, blah, blah. The father was watching out for him. And it says in Luke 15, while he was still far off, the father saw the son and he ran. And Middle Eastern men don't run. It's too hot. It's incredibly undignified for a man to run in that culture. But the dad didn't care. And that's how he feels this morning. The dad wasn't there, stood at the porch. What time do you call this? So where have you been? The dad ran. The dad probably couldn't help himself. The dad ran and threw his arms around him, and the son had all his excuses ready. And this is maybe you this morning. Oh God, I'm just so sorry that I've done da-da-da-da. And God's like, oh, I'm not even listening. I've just got you back. That's all I'm interested in. Kill the fattened calf, ring on the finger, shoes on the feet. So this is a guilt and shame-free place this morning for sure. So just going to talk quickly to three groups of people, and then we're going to get praying for some people. Okay, if you are honestly sat there and thinking, I don't think I have any addictions. I don't think I do. I'm being honest with myself. I don't think, okay, that's good. That's good. I would just say keep an eye. I know that there are some areas in my life that I have to a little bit watch out for, that they don't become like a drug to me. So they are, some of them are. I love new things. I really do like new things, especially if it happens to be technological. I love it. And it is a passion. And I remember the first time I got, not this one, but the first time I got a MacBook Pro many, many years ago now. And I remember still, and Steve Jobs would have been so proud of himself, I remember still what it felt like to get it out of its box. It was a thing. It was such a thing that I had to call Nick through and say, look at this packaging. Like that. It's a wonder we're still married. But anyway, so I know that I have to just watch. I have to watch it. Thankfully, it takes money to keep buying new things, right? So I have a natural check in place. But I am glad in many ways. Often many of us pray, oh, God, make me a millionaire. It's like, well, you'd be a nightmare. You're bad enough with what you've got. And I think that's fair to say for me. I would have to really put a strong check in place. Food is another one. I recognize that there are times when I just might feel a bit low and I will turn to food. And thankfully, not so much these days, but I've always had the kind of constitution where it doesn't matter what I eat. So it's one I could kind of, in theory, almost get away with. And another one, this is much more subtle. Sometimes I can see a tendency for me to want success to validate my existence. And if you're not careful, that can become, success can become like a drug. It's just me, that's okay. I'm good with it. God and I are on good speaking terms about that one. And every now and then the Holy Spirit clears his throat. Yep, okay, God, yep. No, I know, thank you. Thank you for the check. I'm loved as I am, thank you. So which are the ones that you need to keep a bit of an eye on? I wonder what they are. And then there are these people who probably really, to be honest, have got addictions, but they're just totally in denial over them. There is not a single person, I don't think, anywhere who wakes up one day and decides, do you know what? I'm going to become a drug addict. I've got this plan for how I can totally screw my life up. And my aim is, within a year, I have wasted and squandered all the family money. My wife, husband, other half, whatever, has kicked me out. My kids don't want to see me. And my aim is, if I can do it well enough within 18 months, I want to be on the streets because I can't be trusted with any money at all and I've got nowhere to live. That's my plan. It's my life plan. There is nobody that says that. You have to be careful of the small beginnings. You have to be very careful of those small beginnings. Nearly everyone who starts, most people's addiction starts with it's just that one time. It's just the once. I've had a really bad day. I've earned it. I've earned the money. Whatever it is. I'm coming back to that person. I put it in my notes twice. God must have been concerned. I've written exactly this here. There's some here who have their eye on someone at work and are enjoying the fact that they pay you some attention. You're in denial at the moment, and the Holy Spirit wants to nudge you in the ribs and remind you that, this is taken from the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, this speaks of a woman, could easily be the other way around. The lips of a seductive woman are oh so sweet. Her soft words are oh so smooth, but it won't be long before she's gravel in your mouth, a pain in your gut, a wound in your heart. She's dancing down the primrose path to death. She's headed straight for hell and taking you with her. She hasn't a clue about real life, about who she is or where she's going. That's for somebody here. And I'm not for a moment asking you to put your hand up or anything. If you want to get some prayer at the end, come and find me. That's absolutely fine. Other people will be finding me, so it doesn't mean it's you, all that sort of stuff. But twice as I was doing this, I felt prompted that there is someone. It's not quite an addiction, but it's certainly not healthy, so we'll cover it under this one anyway. Just be careful. Just be careful. That person you keep noticing, that person who is coming into your mind, if you're honest with yourself, probably just a little bit too often. Just a little bit too often. And God wants to just give you a little nudge and say, come on, wake up, be careful. Be careful. So, having a drink one night, nothing wrong with that. But having a drink one night, how many? How many nights are you going to start having a drink? You don't really start, you don't go from zero alcohol to I'm going to start drinking alcohol at 9 a.m. the next morning and I'm never going to stop. It's insidious. It happens gradually. How about needing to fill that slight emptiness you have with some retail therapy? And then here it comes, because there's always a justification. I have earned the money and my clothes are looking a bit old. I've deserved it. I deserve it. I've earned it. Is there anything wrong with shopping? No. You know that feeling when it's trying to fill something. How about this? Checking Facebook many times a day, and actually what you're really checking is to see how many more likes your new haircut has got. Men, you, shocking at this. I've seen you. Honestly, I've had this hairstyle now for, I think it's about 23 years. I love it. It's great. Suits me. I used to have a big like set of curtains that I used to have to keep doing this with, swish back into a DA at the back. I know, it's cool. It was cool. Anyway, pornography. Maybe it was an occasional slip up for you, but now actually it's become a habit. And you've kind of gone through habit, and really now it's becoming a bit of a dependency. You try and do that live without it for a week thing, and you realize actually I'm really wanting to get that sort of fix of the feelings it can give. And I believe that God is saying to those people who are like in denial of that, wake up, wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Or as it says in the message, wake up from your sleep and climb out of your coffin. If you are addicted to something, that addiction is written all the way around the outside of a coffin. You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. As in, God's not angry with you. God just wants to come and take you by the hand and say, wake up, step out of that coffin. Step out of that addiction. Honestly, I will be your completeness. I promise you. And I know it might not always be easy, but please learn to trust me. I will be your completeness. If you're not sure about something in your life and whether it's become an addiction, ask your spouse or a close friend. Or ask yourself about the thing that you're not telling your spouse or good friend. There is something quite, I'm going to use this word 2 weeks in a row, pernicious about habits and addictions, that the more addicted you become, the more secretive you tend to become with it. And that's because of shame, so we look to hide it. Yeah, we know that's true, right? So the more addicted to something we become, the shame goes with it, and so the level of secrecy goes up with it as well. And then there's this group of people. God is here, right now. And he's asking you a question. He's saying to you, would you like to be free? If you don't want to be free, God's not going to make you free. You can't force freedom. It's an oxymoron. But God's inviting you. Would you like to be free? It's not such a daft question. We see Jesus ask the person, what can I do for you? Or would you like to be well? Maybe it's not such a stupid question. Would you like to be free of that thing? It's not hopeless. Nothing with Jesus is ever hopeless. In fact, one of the main missions of the church is to restore hope. There is so much hopelessness in the world, and one of the main missions that the church has is to restore hope into people's lives, where they feel that something or a situation is homeless. I'll say this. One thing is for sure, banning whatever this thing is from your life will not bring you life. Banning the addiction from your life will not bring you life. Only saying yes to Jesus can really bring you life. Forcing it out with your willpower only will be exhausting. Jesus has done everything necessary to see you set free. There's no lock on the cage. There's just a door to open. Jesus has done everything necessary. So, you see this? You see this cage? This cage may be shut in your life because you've climbed in there and maybe it's got shut behind you. But I will tell you this. It's a lie that says there's a lock on that cage. That's a total lie. That's something of the enemy. But I tell you what can happen. This morning, there are two bits of the process that need to happen. I believe for many people, God just wants to nudge this back open and say, look, it's not locked. This cage door is not locked. That's the first thing that needs to happen. The second thing that needs to happen is the person needs to fly free. The person needs to fly free. Anyone who's been in any addictive patterns knows that they become just that, patterns. So if the door is opened, but you stay there, you will continue to do the things that you did before. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? You can nod without me thinking, oh my goodness, they've got an addiction problem. It's okay. We all know, we've all had an addiction probably at some point in our lives. So there is a need. Of course, there are patterns that start to become settled in around our addiction. And of course, you have to walk away from those. So there is a need to fly free. So this morning, we're about to invite some people up and we're just going to pray. And in that moment, God's just going to come, nudge that open and say, fly. Isn't that exciting? And I know for some of you, you're like, that's ridiculous. I've been battling this for years. That's okay. That's okay. God can do that. And it might not be that way for you this morning, but it might be that suddenly you find a supernatural strength, that the cravings haven't gone, but you've found this supernatural strength to make better decisions and walk away from the cage. So we're going to pray. Let's all stand, actually. Can we? Is that all right? I used to know a guy, actually. His name genuinely was John. Sounds a bit of a cliche, but he really was. His name was John. And he found Jesus really late on in his life. He was at least in his 60s. He had a horrific gambling problem. He described his gambling problem as being so bad that if he saw two flies on a window, he would already be trying to place a bet on which one would get to the top first. That's how bad he described it was. Loads of the family savings frittered away, all kinds of issues. He had one moment in a particular church, the church was irrelevant, he had one moment where he came to the front and he said, from that moment on, I've never had the desire to bet on anything ever again. Ever again, like that, just changed. So, I'm going to pray over all of you at the same time. And then I would love it, particularly if you're in a circle or something, wide leaders, anything like that, if you could come and lay hands on them. Don't for a minute, this is them with God, just for a moment. But I'll invite you up in a sec, if that's okay. Holy Spirit, thank you, God. Wow, I feel your presence so strongly, Lord. I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are here to bring freedom. It's just an offering. It's an availability. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Increase your power. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Excellent. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today, and we hope you enjoyed it. For more information, visit ashfordvineyard.org or maybe drop into something if you're nearby. In the meantime, have a great week and know just how loved you are.